Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News, and we're beginning on this Wednesday morning with the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken. We missed you on Monday. Good to have you today.
I missed you Monday, too, and I'm thrilled to be here today.
If you have questions for Ken about the week ahead in Washington or politics overall, including that special election last night in Georgia, you can call 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and I'm on Twitter at @CarrieMPR. Ken, you were quite eager to talk about what happened in Georgia with this special election. So what is the fact that Karen Handel won, the Republican, prevailed? Tell us about what Republican voters are thinking about their party, the president, the policy platforms. What do you think?
Well, it's not only what the Republican voters are saying, it's also what the Democratic voters are saying. And the Democrats seem split over what tactics the Democratic nominee, John Ossoff, should have used in that Georgia congressional seat, because Ossoff went out of his way not to make it a referendum on Donald Trump, not to do it an us versus Trump, which many progressives would have preferred. He said, well, we can all talk to work together. We can talk together. We can, you know, we can work together once we're all in Washington at once. But there are a certain amount of progressive Democrats who said, no, that's not the way we do it. We just like Donald Trump takes no prisoners, we should have the same kind of win at all cost attitude as well. And then so there were some who felt that Ossoff didn't do it the right way. What I thought was remarkable about this, and I had no idea who was going to win the election, but most polls, almost every poll I saw, showed Ossoff with a slight lead. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution last week had him with a 7-point lead. More recent polls had him with a 2-point lead. There was always talk about all this Trump backlash and all the Republicans who were just so angry and disturbed and disgusted with Trump that they would send their party a message by voting for Ossoff, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. In fact, I think you can hear that in the crowd's response when Karen Handel mentions the president. Listen.
And a special thanks to the president of the United States of America.
This don't sound like a whole bunch of disaffected Republicans now, do they, Ken?
No, not at all. And the fact is that there have been four special elections since Trump was inaugurated, and the Democrats had hopes in all four, or at least built up a big ballyhoo before all four. And all four went Republican. And it's interesting because Karen Handel is, by any account, an establishment Republican. She's not the conservatives' favorite choice. She's run statewide in the past, and that's perhaps why she wound up as the leading Republican in the initial primary. But she was not an outward Trump supporter, and she, you know, she almost walked a tightrope with him. Certainly wasn't going to criticize him, but didn't invite him into the district either. And, you know, for all the talk that Trump's on the ropes and Trump is this, and the Democrats have the anger and the momentum and the passion on their side. And again, this is only one special election, and let's be honest with you, this seat has been in Republican hands since 1979. It's what Tom Price held before he became HHS Secretary. It was Newt Gingrich's old district, so this is not really a Nancy Pelosi stronghold.
Right.
But having said that, Democrats and the media, I think, made it think that this was certainly a winnable seat, the beginning of making Nancy Pelosi speaker in 2018, and it certainly didn't happen. I mean, I was writing columns talking about those Republican defeats in special elections in 1974 during Watergate in the spring of 74, and what it led to that fall, and I don't know if those comparisons are apt anymore.
So it's good that you've mentioned,
at least in this district,
that you've mentioned Nancy Pelosi here. We have a caller with a question about her, to Chris in Eau Claire. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Ken, I just want to ask about that, actually, because I hear over and over again from the GOP is that, you know, if they elect one of these Democrats, one of these special elections, it's going to put Nancy Pelosi, you know, this San Francisco liberal, as the Speaker of the House. And, you know, frankly, I think, you know, she's had her opportunity, and I think the Democrats need to think about, you know, jettisoning her. What are your thoughts on that? Thanks.
Well, you know something, we heard that certainly after 2010, and we certainly heard it again after 2014. In 2010, the Republicans picked up 63 seats. In 2014, their losses were very minimal, and Nancy Pelosi kept saying, we need new leadership. Well, there was a challenge to Nancy Pelosi's leadership in the House by Tim Ryan, a kind of a moderate centrist from Eastern Ohio, and he got clobbered. I don't know if Nancy Pelosi is the most popular Democrat in the House, but she raises a ton of money for them. But the fact is that just like Newt Gingrich was in the old days, she's become the boogeyman of Republican commercials. If you had to see these commercials to believe it. Not only was Nancy Pelosi in so many of the Karen Handel commercials, there was one commercial of Kathy Griffin holding that mock head of Donald Trump.
Yep.
They also linked John Ossoff to the shooting of Congressman Scalise in Virginia on that baseball field.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is what the left wing is pushing. Their hatred for Trump leads to this. And that and their disdain for Nancy Pelosi, a San Francisco liberal by any definition, works in a district that, let's face it, has gone Republican for 40 years.
Ken, I was reading Republican pollster Ed Rogers' piece in The Washington Post this morning, and he says Democratic pundits will try to distract from the devastating loss they experienced Tuesday, but there's no hiding the fact that the race for Georgia's 6th failed to show much backlash against Trump among the affluent suburbanites who liberals too often assume are moving their way. Tuesday was a huge win for Trump. They may not admit it to pollsters, but a lot of people are pulling for the president and they are pulling for Republicans. Do you think that last bit is true, Ken, that they're not ready to say this to pollsters, but they still harbor a lot of goodwill towards the president?
I don't know that. Let's go back what happened in 2012. Mitt Romney won this district when he was running for president by 23 percentage points. In 2016, Trump beat Hillary Clinton by a point and a half. So Trump's numbers in that district were never good. We kept talking about demographic changes and that more moderate Republicans were moving in. So I don't know. This may almost be in spite of Trump. Maybe Karen Handel won in spite of Trump. Maybe they didn't like the Nancy Pelosi connection, or they didn't want a Democrat in Congress, which, again, as I said, the last Democrat to win the seat was in 76. So I don't know exactly what it was, but look, we keep hearing about Republicans who are not happy with the president, with the lack of action on Capitol Hill, with getting things done. And yet, you know, but here's the interesting thing. Yesterday, in a race that nobody talked about in South Carolina's 5th congressional district,
I know,
which was the one that Mick Mulvaney, he's the budget director, and so it was an open seat. Nobody paid any attention to that. The Democrat, nobody knew his name. He got little money, and the Republicans won that seat 51-48.
I mean, lot closer than was ever predicted in that district. Yeah.
Right, with John Ossoff getting the $100 gazillion he got from these liberal groups all over the country, the Democrat in South Carolina got no money, and it was 51-48. I don't know what message that tells you.
Ken, listen to this insight here from Terry on Twitter. She says, I know plenty of Republicans who don't like Trump, but there's still no way they would vote Democratic. Mistake to think anti-Trump sentiment would cause conservatives to vote Democrat. She has a point if we look at these numbers last night.
No, I think Terry's exactly right. I think the pollsters, the media, the analysts, the pundits, all those people somehow conflate the fact that, well, if you're anti-Trump, therefore you're going to be voting for the John Ossoffs of the world. And, I mean, we've only seen four examples so far, but all four are in Republican hands. And, you know, again, 2018 is a long time from now. It's a very long time from now. We have no idea what Bob Mueller is going to find, if anything. But the point is that Democrats did have an opportunity to make people stand up and say, there's something out there, and they didn't do it yesterday in Georgia.
Call for you here, Ken, from Gwen in Bemidji. Hi, Gwen. What are you thinking about?
Well, my question is about registering new voters. And it seems to me that the Democrats have gotten lazy. They want money and they want ads. But I think the hard work is in the trenches, and that's registering new Democrats to vote half the population isn't even registered that's eligible to register. And I think flipping Republicans is kind of a pipe dream. I think we need to just get out there and register new voters. And I just have one more comment. And that is, it's my understanding, if I remember correctly, that in 08, Obama registered something like 10 million new voters. And I think that's why he won.
Yeah, Ken, I was just thinking about that. That's something that the Obama organization is really credited for, bringing a lot of brand new voters, non-registered voters, into the process. Do you think Gwen has a point
Gwen
here?
Gwen makes an absolutely great point. The fact is, and when you think of 2012, for example, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama basically had the same amount of money to work with. Mitt Romney spent so much of the money on national campaign commercials, whereas Obama spent a lot of it in the trenches, getting out, knocking on doors, registering new voters, just going around the neighborhoods. And another thing that Ossoff seemed to do wrong, which some progressives are now criticizing him for, was that he was never going to win over disaffected Republicans. What he had to do was excite the Democratic left, the Democratic brand. I thought he was doing it, certainly with all the money he was raising. But I guess maybe there was some... I mean, remember, in the early primary, Bernie Sanders was very reluctant to endorse him because he didn't feel he was progressive enough. So we always talk about these Republican litmus tests, but clearly Democrats have them as well.
Ken, I want to talk to you about health care here in the couple minutes we have left, because that's what we're going to be in depth on this hour. Senate Republicans are now saying they're going to unveil the mysterious details of the health care, the Obama care repeal bill tomorrow. What puzzles me about this is, of course, they have to work on, with some parameters off the House bill, but they see a lot of the objections. They must be reading the polls about some of the things they want to do to Medicaid, et cetera. And I have to say, this is where Democrats right really see opportunity, because repealing Obamacare now seems quite unpopular, especially when you get into doing what they want to do with Medicaid. So tell me a bit about the political calculation that you think Republicans are making.
Well, I think when you say Republicans, that doesn't mean the entire Republican Party. It seems to mean Mitch McConnell and his staff and maybe the top leadership. But when you talk to Republican senators, regardless of ideology, Mike Lee, a very conservative Republican from Utah, John McCain from Arizona, they say, we have no idea what's in this bill. We have no idea. For all the years of Republicans criticizing the secrecy of Hillary Care, when Hillary Clinton ran her own little health care effort in 1993, 1994, Republicans blasted her for secrecy when Obamacare didn't get the kind of public hearings that the Republicans felt they were shut out of. They said it was crazy. And now when Mitch McConnell is accused of doing the exact same thing, he said, well, we've been talking about this 7 years for now. Everybody knows what's going on. The point is...
No, everybody doesn't really know what's going on, actually.
Of course.
Right.
Donald Trump announced that the House bill that passed, I guess, in May was great. Now it's a mean bill.
That's
and
right.
By many accounts, what's going on in the Senate right now is even meaner. So, look, all we know is that the Republicans need three... all the Democrats are going to vote no. You need three Republicans to vote no on it. Otherwise, the Republicans can say, we fulfilled our promise. We stopped Obamacare.
Okay, but I don't think you gave me the political calculation. You gave me the details and the history around this. But what's the calculation that they're making in undertaking a bill that, as you point out, even Republicans are very leery of? Just being able to say, we had a vote on it. We told you we were going to do this. What?
I don't understand that either, especially with the fact there's a lot of discussion of a lot of cuts, billions of dollars of cuts in Medicaid. There
right.
are a lot of Republican governors, John Kasich of Ohio, among others, who say, look, cutting this is hurting our own people. This is not an ideological battle. It should be a battle to save poor people's ability to get insurance. And if you're going to cut Medicaid, if you're going to make it much more difficult to get insurance, much more difficult to afford premiums or pay for deductibles, what political benefit could there possibly be? And right now, I don't see it.
Ken, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Gary.